Carlton Bourne edits the news.
Good evening, everybody. We're getting more reports on that strange odyssey of the city of Flint, that modern flying Dutchman of the seven seas, which is on its way from the ice-bound north, now to the somewhat warmer south. The report today is that she spent 3 hours at Tromsø, Norway. It was confirmed by a Stockholm newspaper, but all efforts of the United Press to obtain that confirmation by telephone failed. It's quite possible that Secretary of State Hull is making an appeal to Norway, to Sweden, and to Denmark to release the American crew in case the ship should once again put into a neutral port. That could be done by claiming that the crew is in definite danger. And under international law, the crew of the city of Flint is certainly entitled to safety. And it is pretty well agreed that it would not be safe on board of the city of Flint if the Germans tried to take that ship, either through the British blockade or, more particularly, through the German minefields en route to Germany. There are reports from Britain today that, quote, the crew of the Stonegate, which was sunk by the Deutschland and which was for a time on board the city of Flint with the American crew, as saying that the officers of the Deutschland threatened the American crew if they resisted or tried anything. That, of course, would be a perfectly natural thing for the German prize crew to do. An officer in charge of a prize crew has the right to instruct the men who man the vessel which has been seized that they must do nothing to resist the orders of the prize crew, that they must make no attempt to cripple the vessel, that they must make no resistance against the prize crew which has seized the vessel. That is the right of the German officer in charge of that prize crew, and so there's nothing particularly exciting in that report from Britain, although naturally the dispatches from Britain emphasize it as one of the things which Britain naturally wants us to know in order that we may get a little more angry at Germany for what she has done. The German official press attacks the action of the United States in the city of Flint case. The Diplomatische Korrespondenz charges that we have a double standard of neutrality. It points out that we have now banned submarines from our ports, but that we have not similarly banned armed merchant vessels. Well, the obvious answer to that charge is that submarines are armed for illegal attack and have frequently been guilty of attacks that are called illegal under international law, attacks on merchant ships. Whereas merchant ships are armed only for defense, and there is not a single authenticated instance where an armed merchant ship has acted illegally in defending itself against attack. That Diplomatische Korrespondenz goes on to say, we object to German action on the city of Flint, that we don't object when the British seize our ships and take them into British ports. Well, the answer again to that is that we did not protest against the seizure of the city of Flint because we recognize the right of the German crew to seize that ship and to examine her for contraband. But we do protest against endangering the lives of the crew. There is no instance where the seizure of an American ship by British patrol vessels have endangered the lives of the American crew on that ship. We all remember the distinction that we constantly made during the World War about the sacrifice of American lives as compared with the mere sacrifice of American property rights. And obviously, we are entitled to make a similar distinction in this war. Of course, this article of the Diplomatische Korrespondenz is again a piece of propaganda, the kind of propaganda which will constantly assail us throughout this war. One of its features, for example, will be regular reports of unrest in Bohemia, in Moravia, in Austria, in Germany. This is what many people in this country expect and is also what many Americans would like to believe. And when we want to believe a thing, we ought to be particularly careful about believing dispatches that seem to indicate that something is true that we want to be true. That's the time to be particularly careful in evaluating a report. Now, some of these reports that have come to us in the last few days with reference to unrest may be true, but if they are, they will be confirmed, and it would be just as well not to place too much credence in them until they are confirmed. And while we're talking about propaganda, the British government announced in London tonight that Lord Lothian, British ambassador to the United States, has officially assured the United States government that the torpedoed Athenia carried no bullion, no securities, no guns, no munitions, no explosives. Now that official assurance, which presumably is based on the exact knowledge which the British government must have, should also quiet the propaganda that we've had in this country with reference to guns, munitions, that were supposed to have been carried by the Athenia. 6 weeks ago, I was told in Washington that the House of Representatives would get no chance to debate the neutrality bill. And when I asked why, I was told that it was a question of procedure. The House has already passed a neutrality bill, and all that the United States Senate has now done is to amend that bill, and consequently, the House doesn't need to pass upon it anymore as though it were a new bill, but the House must send it to conference in order that the House conferees may agree or disagree with the Senate conferees with reference to the amendments to the bill that the Senate has made. Now, that's normal procedure, but naturally, those who oppose to certain features of the neutrality bill are going to say that that is a gag rule. Well, it is not. It's quite the usual procedure in Congress when one House has already passed a measure. Now, of course, sometimes the Senate amends a bill by striking all but the enacting clause, which makes it just like a new bill. But unless it is introduced as a new bill, the House can't debate it under the rules. Now, in order to prevent an extended House debate on this bill, feeling perhaps that the Senate has brought out about all the points that could be developed by debate, the Rules Committee voted today that the bill will be brought to the floor of the House tomorrow on the question of sending the House bill as revised by the Senate to conference. Now, that doesn't prevent the House from a debate on this rule. It's got to be a brief debate, that's all. But by the way, according to what parts of the debate I heard in Washington, it isn't going to be very much loss if the House doesn't give us another 3 weeks of just that particular kind of argument. Now, it's going to curtail debate. And it also means that the Speaker of the House probably will appoint a House committee on conference that will accept most of the important changes made by the Senate. However, there can be debate in the House tomorrow and the day after and perhaps for another day on the question of what the House wants to instruct its conference committee to do. And there, a majority vote of the House will rule. And for that reason, don't take too seriously these charges of gag rule, which may be made by certain members of the House, because on the face of things, the House is following its normal procedure. Of course, we must remember that the House has never been as liberal in its debating rules as the Senate. And I'm afraid that if it were, with the number of members of the House that there are, that legislation could never be accomplished. It looks as though the Germans had developed a policy of irritating the British by an unbroken series of minor air attacks. Of course, we all know that one fly can be as irritating as a whole swarm. One plane can produce an air alarm over a vast area. You heard Ed Murrow tell you this morning from Britain that the British are beginning to be seriously concerned about the cost of air alarms and air defenses. Blackouts have caused more casualties in Britain among civilians than air attacks. Today, two German planes attacked the British destroyer flotilla that's engaged in the North Sea blockade. There were no established casualties on either side. Now note that if the Germans had intended any serious attack on any part of the British blockading fleet, they wouldn't have sent two planes. They would have sent 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. They've got them. They've got 3,000 of them that are available that haven't done very much since the war began. This, then, is merely an irritating policy, possibly also a policy of reconnaissance. Nazi reconnaissance planes were turned back from the English coast today. They want to find out Where are the British aircraft batteries? How strong are those batteries? How efficient and how quick are they in detecting the approach of a plane? Those are the things which reconnaissance flights can develop. And of course it is possible that this is all preliminary to larger action. The address by Premier and Foreign Minister Molotov before the Supreme Soviet is eagerly awaited. But it's not at all certain what, if anything, he'll say. He could, of course, talk about a lot of things. He could talk about the city of Flint. The Soviet policy on that ship certainly needs clearing up. He could talk about the negotiations with Finland. The Finns are supposed to have carried back a polite no to the Russian demand for naval and air bases on Finnish territory. He could talk about the Russian policy towards Turkey. There has been absolute silence in Moscow on the Turkish pact with France and Britain. He could talk about the mooted policy of Soviet Russia towards Romania. The Romanian minister to Turkey is supposed to have brought word to Bucharest that Russia is fathering a general assault on Romania, that Bulgaria is to get south to Brugia, Russia to get Bessarabia, Hungary to get Transylvania. Germany, we remember, was left behind in the race for the Romanian frontier. She'd like to get oil and wheat through the good offices of Stalin, but will she get it? And then Mr. Molotov might also try to talk about Russia's policy in the Far East. But will he? Good night.
Now...